This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
What does it take to be a good parent? Well, usually a lot of love, good dedication, and care for your children. If you can start there, you can usually get from point A to B without too much trouble. When you're starting from the standpoint of, I don't know, be a good mom, let's put the kid in an ice bath, let's feed him hot sauce, not just Tabasco, but like the crazy gazillion Scoville unit hot sauce that you get at one of those stores in the mall that people go for hot sauce challenges. And there's so much more. Not feeding your child, the mental and physical abuse. There's so much that goes into the case we're about to talk about. Chanda Vanda Ark is the mom that's in question. Her son as well, also being charged with child abuse. This is a case that starts back in Oklahoma, actually. Here to discuss this case specifically and exactly what we're dealing with here. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. From what I understand, Jennifer, there was a lot of red flags going up in Oklahoma. And, well, it seemed the solution for Chanda was to go to Michigan. And then seemed everything stopped until more problems arose.
Yes, Tony. You know, this is one of these cases that shows that educational lines, social lines, your wealth, none of it really matters, because behind closed doors, sadly, this sort of abuse occurs in all these types of environments. And certainly back in Oklahoma, there were signs. And what did she do? She went to Michigan thinking, I guess, she could outrun her crimes. But her crimes, sadly, ended up in the death of Timothy.
When we look at this, this is another one where it gets very tricky, because it's not just her that is involved in this. It's also her son, who is 21 years old now. But when we look back at the timeline of this and you look at really just the recipe of what her son, Paul, you know, was raised with this being mom, is it really a shock that he would engage in this sort of behavior at the behest of mom?
Well, I think it goes to show, you know, generationally, why we see child abuse transcend generation after generation, even though oftentimes they have been abused themselves or have been the abusers assisting their parents. And this is just such a, I guess, textbook example of what happens so often. And, you know, he knew right from wrong, certainly, but was he manipulated and controlled by her? I 100% believe he was. Nevertheless, he never sought help. He never left. He wasn't that young, and he was of legal age, and yet he persisted in abusing his son or his brother.
His brother, yeah. And that's, I got a chance to watch his testimony the other day. He did seem to come across very much as a victim in my sense of things. He also seemed extremely immature, I guess, you know, almost mentality-wise. I know he's 21, but I'd be curious to see an evaluation as to where he is at truly mentally. It felt more like a 14-year-old on the stand there with the way he had been reacting to things and the fear that he clearly had for his own mother. He's obviously has his own charges. I know there's a bit of a plea deal that has gone on there in exchange for lesser sentence, lesser charges, or some grace when it comes to him. How much grace should they give him, considering, again, it's everything that he's been through? We don't even know his story. We're focusing solely on the other one right now, but with what he likely has potentially endured, knowing what this mom is capable of, is this a kid who deserves time behind bars or a lot of mental health help to try and get his life into a positive space?
Well, I think he deserves time behind bars, at least to some degree, because he has to understand that there is punishment that's levied for a murder. And he was a part of committing that murder. But on the other side of that pancake, certainly, I think he was likely, as you just mentioned, also abused. He was certainly manipulated and controlled. And I'm glad that he struck a deal. I agree, on the stand, to me, watching his testimony, he seemed to have true remorse. I agree with you that his mental situation seemed so fragile and almost childlike, as if he, you know, was repeating that he was following instructions, Tony.
Yeah.
As opposed to himself really wanting to do these deeds. So I'm glad he's going to get grace, and I certainly hope he gets some mental health help and guidance through this.
Speaking of mental health help, let's talk about Shanda herself. She was on the stand this last week as well. I had a chance to see a good portion of that. I know on the screen right now, we're even seeing some of that testimony. What was your take on her? Watching, hearing, I didn't even know what to make. I mean, I kind of got vibes of Lori Vallow Daybell, but take the extreme religion out of the case, and more so everything she does is justified, it almost seemed, with no accountability. What was your take on Shanda's testimony?
Yeah, I was thinking even more toward the Murdoch, Murdoch, how he testified, just in terms of the fact that she came off, first of all, so narcissistic, just so in love with herself in terms of her accomplishments, her, you know, graduating magna cum laude, you know, the bar, passing that difficult bar exam with high marks. And it was such a weird paradigm to see her talk about herself and how much she thought of herself, and then how she would reflect on Timothy and, you know, well, when he would do this or he would do this, you know, really justifying this deplorable conduct. And she came off to me as just being so completely without empathy, without a heart, really, I'm going to say it, without a soul up there on that stand. It seemed the only thing she really cared about was herself.
Very much so. I mean, and what's scary about this case, I think, or her in particular, is just how, I guess, normal she would probably seem. If you know, ran into her at the grocery store, you really probably wouldn't think a whole lot about it. Narcissistic, sure, without a doubt. But until you really get into the depths of what's going on behind those closed doors, you probably would have absolutely no idea that this kind of a monster is there, and that these kids call this person mom.
Right. And when you look at the lengths she went to commit the abuse, you know, as an example, the monitor that they placed on his belt and on his little closet door, that monitor keeping track of him standing against a wall for hours and hours and hours, day and night, of looking in a corner and having his arms raised. For anybody who's, you know, done athletic moves, you know, been involved in yoga or any sort of training, to put your arms above your head for hours and hours and hours of time is excruciating. And they monitored him. This took so much effort to get off work after full days of work and have a monitor come on, because it was between her and her son that were doing the monitoring, but one went to work while the other was home. The lengths at which it was important to her to torture Timothy was really unbelievable.
Without a doubt. I mean, it really took a lot of premeditation in this case. And the reasoning, I thought, the way that she was discussing the questioning was so matter-of-fact and so callous and so cold. It's so bizarre to think that even if you are trying to come across as a likable human being, because I imagine she's not trying to come across as unlikable. Her life is literally on the line here. But to be that oblivious, that this is how others are going to perceive you, it doesn't seem to be that far of a stretch that she'd be able to do these sort of things to her own children in her own home. But that level of evil is shocking.
Yeah, it was really cold. I thought it was interesting when she tried to feign the crying and, you know, tissues were, you know, her hand, yet there was not, I looked closely, I slow-mo'd it, I stopped it frame by frame. There were no tears, tears. And you can't manufacture tears when you don't have the emotion behind it. And then the whole vomiting scene, you know, that was kind of down low, so you couldn't exactly see what was going on, but it sounded to me like a bunch of coughing and spitting. Just though she mentally thought to herself, well, I need to at least show some sort of emotion and to feign those things. I thought it was interesting, too, the photos that were shown were, I believe it was hours, but well in advance of his death. Well, she'd been looking at him like that for days. Mm-hmm. It's not like you just all of a sudden starved to death.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a slow, excruciating process that his body went through and the hypothermia that was involved in that. And so it was ridiculous, really, to think that all of a sudden now seeing him on the stand would cause that when she's been looking at him like that for weeks.
Yeah, it's a level of depravity and evil that I think, I mean, unless you're that, there's no way of truly grasping and understanding how a mind like this actually works.
And I think none of us, you know, when you look at her, like you said, it was a perfect description. She's the girl you see in front of you at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. She's not anything unusual. She actually is kind of a bit of a wallflower type that you almost might never otherwise notice. And we're getting to hear these words straight out of her mouth as to, you know, the abuse she levied and then her lack of emotion. It's just, you just never know, Tony, right? Until you undo those layers.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.